Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It has fool's gold written all over it.
Any comment on that?
I don't even know what show he's on.
I need him, as in Drake May, to understand this. Now, being in this position as a member of the media, there's a lot of things that are not always done. And it's always this. Things can be taken out of perspective. Things can be taken out of context. Now, I did say the Patriots are fool's gold, and I'm going to stand on that. I was referring to the fact that it was a question that was asked. Does the AFC now go through the Patriots or New England? I said fool's gold. Why did I say fool's gold? Because there's not a soul in this beautiful gymnasium that will say they will take Drake May over a wild card winner in Patrick Mahomes. Drake May, respectfully, you're having a great season. But I also put Drake May in a position where it's like, yo, we don't really know. So to the reporter that asked the question, that was a great job because columnists typically do these type of things just to poke the bear. But this is merely a warning. Don't keep poking this bear.
Time now for the Christian Arcan Show.
Yo, it's all
WEEI.
Good evening. Welcome in. It's the Christian Arcan Show here, WEEI. We are live in our Brighton studios. We are powered by Verizon. We are Boston Sports Original. And tonight we're here with you for
60 minutes.
A little more than that, actually. About 90 minutes as we take you up until Thursday Night Football, which we'll be carrying here tonight. Good game tonight. Buffalo Bills, Houston Texans, one of the best defenses in the league, and Josh Allen coming off of a 25-touchdown performance last weekend, just going crazy, and should be a good one here, so keep it on WEEI all night long, even beyond our 90 minutes that we have here together. What you just heard has been the topic of basically everything since I heard Jones and Keefe break in with it when First Take had this whole thing. They were down, where were they? What was the school they were at? Berthume something. I don't know the name of the school, but they were on remote today, and they were at the gymnasium at this school somewhere, and they were ready to talk about Drake May. They were ready to talk about WEEI Andy Hart, though they couldn't tell you his name. What was the place?
Bethune-Cookman University in Daytona Beach, Florida.
Bethune-Cookman University in Florida. So that's where they were. And that's what you hear in the back. You keep hearing all these people cheering. They were live on remote with a packed gymnasium full of people who, I don't know, I'm not sure how much investment they have in the Drake May thing outside of the fact that Cam Newton was there and Cam Newton appeared to be on one side of it, as did Stephen A. Smith, while us and Drake May are over here on the other side. Let me just start by saying that I love poking bears. It's like my thing. I love poking a good bear. And I know that this doesn't involve me directly. But it does involve my radio mentee, which I didn't know I was until very recently. I think maybe 3 days ago. I didn't know I was anybody's radio mentor, but Andy said I was. So I take that sacred responsibility very seriously. And I would like to respond to everything that's happened today. First by saying that ever since Cam Newton's fool's gold comments, and really before that, I've found him to be exhausting on that show. I do. It's a personal preference. I'm not saying everybody else in the world has to. I'm not saying you got to agree with me or anything. It's just in my opinion, when he starts going and it's just, you know, you got to get through four metaphors and jokes and one-liners before you even get to what he's trying to say. And none of them really are even that far. Ah, it's cubic zirconia, middle of the, all right, Cam, what's the point? What are you trying to say? Can we get to the actual thing here? in what often happens is he'll say some big thing, and then as he goes to explain it, he takes it in a totally different direction. That's what happened with Shedeur Sanders. He had this big headline where he's like, Shedeur Sanders, Kevin Stefanski doesn't want him to succeed. And then it's like, well, why do you think that, Cam? And he's like, well, they don't have a very good team. There's no one on offense. There's no one to throw to. The offensive line's no good. And it's like, right, but what does that have to do with Kevin Stefanski? That has nothing to do with him. The Browns are a bad team. We know that. Kevin Stefanski's not the guy picking all the players. That's not his job. So what do you mean? Either way, that's neither here nor there. What we're talking about was this response and really how it all played out. Because Drake May, when he said, I don't even know what show he's on, Andy was right on that. And I heard it too. And I thought, ooh, that was a little spicy. That was a little spicy there for Mr. Drake May. Drake May is not a particularly spicy guy. You know, he kind of just answers the question. He's very, very, you know, deferential. He's deferential about everything. He's deferential when people ask him about the MVP. It's always, no, they're not talking about me. That was for Baker Mayfield. No, that was for Travion Henderson. That was for whoever. He's very deferential. He doesn't seem like a guy who's itching to jump in the mud with someone like Cam Newton. But he did. When you say, I don't even know what show he's on, whether he meant it in that tone or not, that's not something that you can just take back. Well, I didn't mean like I don't care about it. Well, you said that. When you say, I don't know what show he's on, that does imply a little bit of, you know, who's this guy? What do I care? I don't even know what show he's on. And maybe he didn't mean it like that, but that's how it comes off. And when,
I don't even know what show he's on.
When you have Cam Newton, who has now, for a couple of months anyway, been going kind of hard at Drake May. He had a meltdown when Damian Woody dared to suggest that Drake May is the best deep ball thrower in the NFL. I mean, he had a full-on meltdown. He screamed about it for like 45 seconds. He said he had diarrhea of the mouth, and he wouldn't get to any reason why. And by the way, statistically, Drake May is the most accurate deep ball thrower. That's just a statistical fact. So I'm not sure why that bothered him so much, but it did. I think he resents the fact that May is so new and is already being compared to the Mahomeses and the Lamar Jacksons of the world. And you kind of got that in that answer that we just played. No one here in this gym, no one here in the NFL, none of these people would take Drake May in a playoff game against Patrick Mahomes or against Lamar Jackson.
And to have diarrhea at the mouth.
I mean, that's a much more reasonable take than he doesn't have the best deep ball accuracy. He clearly does. I mean, that's just, look at the numbers. He obviously does. What he's doing with the deep ball accuracy is ridiculous. It's like otherworldly this year. And that doesn't mean he's better than all these other quarterbacks. It doesn't mean he's better than Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson for that matter. And it certainly doesn't mean that you want to see him in the playoffs. But that also doesn't make it fool's gold either, because you might not have to meet either one of those teams. The Chiefs might not even make the playoffs. And I don't know about the Ravens. I mean, listen, Lamar Jackson's already missed a big chunk of time, and that's why the Ravens are in a perilous playoff position themselves. He goes down again, they're not in the picture either. So really, what's the fool's gold? Okay, he's not as good as those two guys. That's not really what you were saying. You were saying it's fool's gold because the Patriots, and he did walk this back today, because the Patriots have only played a bunch of scrub teams, and that's all they've beaten. And in order to be the man, you got to beat the man twice with Josh Allen, which was a weird point that I've never heard before. I remember all this, Cam. I've been ripping on you for a month here and all these weird takes that you have about the Patriots. I don't have a problem with people criticizing the Patriots either, by the way. I do it every day. But with Cam Newton, here's my thought on this, okay? This is why I think this is all going the way it's going. Why I think Stephen A. Smith jumped in to defend Cam Newton and say what he said too, which we'll play that and get to it as well. Because I thought what Stephen A. had to say was much more inflammatory today than what Cam Newton said. Cam Newton kind of sidestepped it a little bit. But here's what I think's going on. I don't think that Cam Newton is testing very well on that show. And I think it's for the reasons I just gave you. I think that he's having a hard time. He's Cam Newton, so obviously they're going to invite him back on. He's a big name. He's, you know, looks good on camera. He wears the funny outfits. You know, he's got big, extra boisterous declarations that he has to make. And so, you know, after a while, though, you have to have some substance. And I just don't think he's really had that much. And so I think he's not really testing all that well. And now he's got himself into a feud, kind of, with Drake May, who is maybe not Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson for that matter, but Cam Newton being in a feud with Drake May is more valuable to a show like First Take than him coming on and giving very lucid, smart football analysis. Instead of, it's fool's gold, cubic zirconium, blah, 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 all that stuff that he says without ever actually making a point. He doesn't really have to do that. If he's embroiled in a feud with Drake May, who is emerging as this superstar in year two here, if that's what he's bringing to the table, that's way more valuable than him coming on there and giving you an honest assessment about each guy in the MVP race and where they're at and what they're doing. They got guys that do that. They have a lot of Dan Orlovsky. Dan Orlovsky's on every single show, by the way. Ask me what show Dan Orlovsky's on. I don't know. Every single one of them. Every time I turn the TV on, I see Dan Orlovsky on some ESPN show saying something. So when Drake May says, I don't know what show Cam Newton's on, I don't blame him. They have people all over the roster. I don't know. I don't even know that there was people fixed to any one show. I just assumed everybody was on every show. That's what it looks like. I look up and I see the same people all the time. And that's fine. I mean, listen, they can do it however they want to. But Stephen A. getting all upset. Man, did he get upset about the idea that Drake May didn't know that Cam Newton was on Stephen A. Smith's show. That was, I thought, the juiciest part of all of this. So let's go ahead, and we'll get to Cam Newton. We'll get to that in the next part here, and we will get to your phone calls as I see the phone lines beginning to populate here at 617-779-7937. Jump on in. Let me know what you think about this today. And here's what I think. Newton, not really connecting with the audience. Now he's in a feud with Drake May, kind of. I don't know. It's not the hottest feud in the world. But Stephen A. Smith, he knows. We all work in the dark arts, okay? Like, we all are part of this business together. We all know, and some more than others, obviously. There's a reason Stephen A. Smith just signed a $100 million contract. Know what gets people talking. And Cam, he did back away from what he had said originally. On some levels, Stephen A. Smith comes over the top rope, and he's got smoke for everybody. Here's Stephen A.
He's also a liar. He's also a liar. First of all, let me tell you, it's not to brag. Listen.
Not to brag.
First Take is the number one morning show, 13 years and counting. Don't tell me you are an athlete and you don't know that. Don't tell me you are an athlete and you don't know that Cam Newton ain't on the show. You're lying. That's number one. But how about athletes looking out for athletes? I sit up there and I learn from these folks, the people that played in this game, that, when it's over, what are we looking for? What do we want to do? And the media offers former professional athletes opportunities that corporate America, for the most part, ain't doing. But a professional athlete performing because he in his feelings, because somebody might have critiqued him, or some weak-ass reporter or pundit on radio going to ask the question out of context.
Stop it right there. Stop it right there. I rip on Andy Hart all the time. I love ripping on Andy Hart. And he loves ripping the bait. I mean, really, we have a good thing. Me and Andy, we're not on the air together anymore. But I text him, when he tweets something that I think is dumb. I'll text him about it. Andy Hart did not take anything out of context there at all. Can you play Andy Hart's question to Drake May? And you just tell me what part of this is taken out of context. Cam Newton came on the air and he said the Patriots, not Drake May, the Patriots are fool's gold. He said it loud. It took him 20 minutes to say it. The Patriots are fool's gold. A half hour later, he finally finishes his sentence. He said it about as long and loud as you could possibly say it. And this was the question that Andy Hart asked.
Drake, your coach, Vrabel, dismissed this question, but I felt like I'd give you the opportunity because, you're familiar with this guy and he played for the Patriots. Cam Newton said the Patriots are fool's gold. That was his words, not mine. Do you hear those things? Do you react those things? Any comment on that?
Stop it right there. In what universe, in what language is that taking Cam Newton out of context? That was exactly the context. It was a pretty straightforward context. The Patriots are fool's gold. Hey, Drake, Cam Newton said the Patriots are fool's gold. What do you think? It wasn't like, what I mean? He didn't take the question and twist it. He didn't take Cam Newton's words and turn them into something else. He said, you're fool's gold. He said, hey, Cam Newton said this. It's exactly what he said. It's exactly what he said. If there was any doubt about that, I would say so. I would, because I know people do that. I've probably done it before. I know that's a thing that, that happens. You get a sound bite. You take it out of context, you build it into a story. I mean, listen, who knows that more than Stephen A. Smith? And that's the other thing I find funny. Stephen A. Smith, some weak-ass reporter taking a quote and then trying to make get attention for it. You've never done that, Stephen A. Smith?
Or some weak-ass reporter or pundit on radio going to ask a question out of context.
Ask a question? How dare you ask a question? Like, it's what he's supposed to do. It's an interview, by the way. It's an interview on the radio. He's not a reporter at a press conference. It was an interview on the radio. It was a perfectly reasonable question. It wasn't an inflammatory question. He didn't set Drake May up in a way to take a shot at Cam Newton. I was surprised that Drake May even did that. And if you ask Drake May, he'll probably tell you, I wasn't trying to take a shot at Cam Newton. I honestly, you know, I don't know what show he's on. I don't follow it that closely. I bet you that's what he would say. And listen, you know, I understand Stephen A. saying, hey, we're the number one show and you should know who's on what show. You know what 20-year-olds are watching? They're watching all sorts of crap. They're not watching regular TV, cable TV. They're watching streamers. They're watching all sorts of weird stuff. You know, like, it's not how it was. It's not how it was with viewership. It's not how it was with anything. And, yes, that show does very well, and Stephen A. Smith does his job very well. I'm not trying to act like he doesn't. But that, you know, I heard him say that. I was like, ooh, sound a little dated there, man. I don't know if a 23-year-old is in tune with the ESPN roster and who's on what show every day and all of that. You know, 23-year-olds are watching all sorts of weird stuff. You know, young people in general, they got a whole roster of media that I wouldn't even know about. You
don't
know?
Tell me you're an athlete and you don't know that Cam Newton ain't on this show.
Yeah, I don't think so. The best part about that, and the reason why I think Stephen A. went so hard at it, is because he knows that maybe Cam's not doing, you know, that it's not really a great fit so far. And he's trying to get this thing going. He's trying to really kick this into motion. A feud with the radio station, a feud with Drake May, a feud with Patriots Nation in general. Let's get this thing going. Let's stoke this thing up. And I'm here for it. Listen, I know it doesn't involve me directly, but I'm here for it. I think it's great. And also, I think it's fine that there are people out there that want to downplay what Drake May is doing. I think that that's a perfectly reasonable take to have, too. I'm not mad at him for daring to say that. I don't think that's a big deal. People say that all the time. People said it about Tom Brady. I mean, that's the way it works. That's the way news media, sports media works, especially in the debate era that we're currently in. You know, you got to have somebody on the other side of it, and that's fine. But I do think that it just, in my one man's opinion, that Cam on that show, I don't know. I feel like I have a pretty good ear for these things. Maybe I'm wrong. I feel like it's not been great. I don't know that he's got a lot of people that just love hearing him, you know, go on and on like that. And so now he's bringing a different type of value to the table. I think Drake May taking that shot at him was great for Cam Newton. Honestly.
Hold on. I can talk now.
Cam Newton, the media personality, I mean. Not Cam Newton like the person or the athlete or whatever. Cam Newton was a tremendous, tremendous player. And I am interested in hearing what he thinks about certain things. Just he can never actually get to the point. That's the problem. It's all like, okay, all right. And then by then you lose interest because we all have very short attention spans. At least that's my take on it. We'll get more into this here in just a minute. We'll replay what else Cam Newton had to say. And we'll apply this to the Patriots and sort of what this means for the conversation and the conversations that they're back in. And since we only have an hour and a half here, let's go ahead and get to the phones early and often at 617-779-7937. And we'll start things off here with Marcus, who is in Roxbury. Go ahead, Marcus.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I really enjoy you, man.
Thank you.
And I appreciate the fact that you said that that you're there for, like, the different take, because I think sometimes here we get all our buns in a bunch because people have different takes than us, man. Like, everybody is not in love with our team, man. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm going to say. And I think Stephen A. and them are doing really well, man, and he's been getting crushed on WEEI all day long. So I just wanted to say that I really enjoy you, man. You're really good, man, okay?
Marcus, I appreciate that. Call back anytime. Listen, you want to call and say nice things, they'll put you right to the front of the line. Appreciate that. And I think you're semi-right, but now that the Patriots are good again, that type of thing can start right back up. As a fan base, we know how to do that. As a fan base, we know how to fight these type of battles. I was on the air during Deflategate. You would think that all of New England turned into like this weird army defending Tom Brady and the Patriots and Belichick and all of that. It was crazy. But it was very unifying. I don't know if this is going to be the same kind of unifying. I'm just not sure. We're too early on in the process. At that point, the Patriots had already won, what, several Super Bowls? They were already, you know, a dynasty. It was sort of this thing that, picked up later on, getting them suspended. PSI and the footballs, my lord. Oh, God. And it was the second one, too. There was Spygate before that. Then you had Deflategate. It was on the nightly news. It was a whole thing. Patriots fans know how to circle the wagons. That's never been a problem here around these parts. It may be a little premature with that since we're only 11 games into the season. It's the first time this team's looked good in 4 years. But either way, it's interesting. And I think that what you're seeing here is a deliberate moving of the chess pieces around to get more people talking about that show and to get Cam Newton maybe to provide a little bit more value to the show than he's maybe been doing. That's just one man's opinion. Not saying you got to agree with it, but I've heard him say a lot of things on that show. I just can't imagine it's connecting all that well. We'll hear more from Cam Newton in just a minute. First, here's Joe Braverman. He'll get you caught up on what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. It's another day of practice for the Patriots as prep continues for their matchup in Cincinnati with the Bengals this Sunday. Ramondre Stevenson was the only player who practiced in a limited fashion as he recovers from the toe injury that sidelined him for the last three games. Everyone else was a full participant or not on the injury list. That includes Christian Barmore, Kayshawn Booty, Kalavon Chasen, Christian Ellis, Joshua Farmer, Austin Hooper, Terrell Jennings, Harold Landry, Morgan Moses, and Jelani Tavai. For Cincy, quarterback Joe Burrow was a full participant for a second straight day and was taking quarterback one reps, according to ESPN Bengals reporter Ben Beebe. Backup quarterback Joe Flacco was limited with a shoulder injury. He was taking all of the QB2 reps. Jordan Schultz reports that tomorrow will be the determining factor if Burrow plays this Sunday. Also, pass rusher Trey Hendrickson and cornerback Cam Taylor-Britt were DNPs for a second straight day. Week 12 in the NFL kicks off tonight with the Bills taking on the Texans from Houston. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of Thursday Night Football right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM beginning at 7:30. Kickoff is at 8:15. Some Bruins news on their off day. ESPN's Emily Kaplan reports that Charlie McAvoy should be quote-unquote okay for the 2026 Olympics in February, but all depends on his recovery timeline from his facial surgery. The Bruins continue their road trip tomorrow in L.A. against the Kings. And news from the Red Sox. The team avoided arbitration with catcher Connor Wong. They agreed to a one-year, $1.4 million deal. Homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My quarrel of the misunderstanding about where I stand, because this topic is in essence about me, it's not with Drake May. When I say poking the bear, that's my challenge to all members of the media to say, y'all been doing this strategy for so long, and now, yes, does he respond to those things? I've been in that building that he is, and he may not know what to what extreme of the accuracy that Cam was in essence talking about.
More from Cam Newton there. First take today. Very eventful first take, certainly for us. That part, and if you heard the whole segment, Stephen A. starts talking about athletes supporting athletes. We played a little bit of that. I cut it off right before he got into the main crux of it. But he was talking about athletes supporting athletes and was, I think, implying that Drake May taking a shot at Cam Newton means he's not supporting Cam Newton. Which is interesting because Cam Newton isn't an athlete right now. He's an ex-athlete. He's in very good shape. But he's not currently a professional athlete. He's currently a media member. Drake May's the athlete. And the ex-athlete wasn't necessarily supporting Drake May there. And he hasn't really been at all. He'll reluctantly say, yeah, I mean, he's playing well, but, you know, I'm not going to say, I'm not going to, it's fool's gold, this, that, all that. And it's, there's been a tone to it. I mean, you hear it. Anybody who's heard Cam Newton speak on Drake May has noticed it. It's not just me. Everybody's noticed it. Except maybe for Drake May, who doesn't know what show he's on. By the way, do you believe him when he says that? A lot of people are like, yeah, he has a job. He doesn't know what show he's on. I don't know. Like, he grew up being a big fan of Cam Newton. He grew up, he was a huge fan of Cam Newton. He was his boyhood hero. He was there at the draft. Him and his brothers all met him. They talked about that. And I wonder if maybe that, what you know, like, he probably knows what show Cam Newton's on. He probably knows. I don't know if he has it memorized. But I would guess he's seen him on there talking about him on that show before. And if Stephen A. Smith's on the show, maybe he doesn't know the name, you know. First Take, Get Up, which one is it? I don't know. He knows it's on the Pat McAfee show. But who's to say otherwise which one it might be? Anyway, Cam then says, this isn't really even about Drake May. It's about the media and the media trying to turn people against each other, I guess. I don't know. To just, I'll say this again. It's very easy to just take shots at the media. First of all, Cam, you are the media now. You're part of the media. And I don't really remember hearing you building up Drake May and, you know, trying to build him up and pump his tires. That's not what you do when you talk about Drake May. You kind of go the opposite direction, which, again, is your prerogative. It's your microphone, sir. You can say whatever you want. But if you're going to make these big, bold proclamations, then people are going to ask the players about them. You hear what Cam Newton said? That's your guy you grew up idolizing, right? Of course you're going to get asked that question. And if maybe he takes a little shot back at you, that's not the media. That's not the media. That was not a media concoction. It happened on our airwaves, so I guess, yeah, in that sense, it was the media. But it's not like it was some probing, you know, misleading question. Cam Newton said something. Andy asked him about it. And Drake took a little shot. That's who you should have the issue with. He took the shot, not Andy. Andy didn't take a shot at anybody. He took a few today. But imagine Cam and Steven and the rest of the people over there at that show maybe haven't heard it yet. Maybe they have. I don't know. Maybe
step aside real quick, sweetie pie, because this has nothing to do with you.
They do, I don't know if they listen. I'm not sure. Let's hear a little bit more from Cam and how you don't want to see the petty side of Cam Newton.
It's this understanding of I'm a Drake May fan.
Oh, yeah.
But Drake May, you still have to prove yourself in a situation where I do not think that the AFC goes through New England when you have a potential Lamar yeah. Jackson that's out there and obviously a Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
That's corporate Cam. That's professional Cam. We don't want to see petty Cam.
Yeah. Oh, it was petty Cam. Ooh. It's LeBron James me. Oh, petty Cam. Not that. Not petty Cam.
Oh, no. Is petty Cam going to storm out of a press conference after losing the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I haven't even brought that up, by the way. I have not even mentioned that. I'm not going to take the low road here. Because Cam Newton was a tremendous player. He really was. He was a one-man army out there in Carolina. I loved watching Cam Newton play. I hated watching him play in New England. And that second time back around in Carolina, remember he scored that one touchdown? He's like, I'm back! And it's like, you never saw him again. That's kind of tough. He got right in front of the camera. He's like, I'm back! Nope. Not really. Thank you for that one touchdown, Cam, but we're all set. We're going to go back to whoever they had. But I don't even remember who it was. It was before Bryce Young. I don't even know where their quarterback was back then. But they decided that was a better plan, sticking with Cam. And Cam couldn't throw by the end. I mean, he took such a tremendous beating over the years. He really did. I mean, I get it. And that one play in the Super Bowl where he didn't dive on the ball, there's nothing you can say about it that hasn't already been said.
You know who actually was the starting quarterback in week one for those Panthers?
No, who was it?
Sam Darnold. Yeah, and then they eventually went to P.J. They benched him. They went to P.J. Walker.
P.J. Didn't Baker play for them that year too? Did Baker end up?
I think that was the year after.
Okay,
because this was the 2021 schedule.
Got it. Okay. Cam Newton, Super Bowl 50. They lost that game by two scores. I'm not sure him falling on that fumble would have really made that much of a difference. But I also don't remember the specifics of that game. Either way, it was a chicken bleep play. No question about it. And really hurt his reputation. which I think, you know, one bad play. It was in the Super Bowl, so it's not great. But that doesn't wipe out a guy's whole career. He was great. He was a great player. Great player. He gave the Patriots fits. Oh, God. I used to hate when Carolina on the calendar, and here comes Cam. Ugh. Nightmare fuel. But Petty Cam, what are we scared of, Petty Cam? What's Petty Cam going to do to Drake May? You've been taking shots at him all year, Cam. Like, what, you know, like, so what now? Now you're going to be corporate, Cam? Where'd that come from? I'm surprised. I'd say this. I wouldn't be shocked if both sides kind of let it go at this point.
That's corporate, Cam.
Because I don't think Drake May wants to escalate this any further. I just don't get the sense that he would, or that Mike Vrabel wants this big feud with ESPN or any of that stuff. I don't think that's really the type of guy that he is. Maybe I'm wrong. I just, that my impression of him, I would think, is one that's, all right, that's enough. We don't need to keep talking about this. And for Cam, two sides of the coin there for Cam. Number one, it's good for him to be in a feud with a star quarterback. It is. Number two, he may end up looking dumber and dumber as this season goes on. Because if Drake May and the Patriots win 13, 14 games and make it to the AFC Championship game, and he's still going on there every week with his hat and his glasses yelling about fool's gold, then eventually it's going to be like, all right, Cam, it's over. You're wrong. You know, you gotta give it up at this point.
That's when I kind of felt bamboozled, because I'm like,
So I don't know. I'm sort of in between on this. But either way, tremendous day of content here for the station. Absolutely. And a big day for Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton, the NFL commentator, the TV personality, I think this was probably his best day, honestly. And I don't even think what he had to say there was all that deep. The media has to stop. What does the media have to stop doing? What did the media do here? That's a very easy thing to say. Ah, this weak-ass media member asked a question. Well, yeah. Stephen A., of all the people on God's green earth, to be bothered by a media member asking a potentially spicy question. I don't think there's anybody who can be less bothered by it than you. I don't think there's anybody in the world, in any world, in any galaxy, any universe. I just thought, you know, Stephen A. Smith bothered by a question from a media member, and not even one that was taken out of context, despite what they both insisted. It was not taken out of context. There was no context missed, and they know that. I'm a little, in some ways, a little surprised they didn't want to escalate it any further than that. But that's up to them. You know, what's funny is in that hole, there's like 9 minutes of them talking about the Drake May thing. They talked about it for about 9 minutes on the show today. And Ryan Clark had a very, very good hit in the middle of it. Because Newton's talking about what he's talking, don't poke the bear. Stephen A's yelling and screaming. And in the middle of that, Ryan Clark comes on and he gives some pretty good analysis. It's just like, yeah, okay, Ryan. He's like, no, actually, Drake May has been good. And these stats are good examples of why he's this and why he's that and blah, 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 blah. And I'm listening to it and I'm thinking, what's more valuable to the show right now? What's more valuable to ESPN? Is it Ryan Clark and this good analysis that he's giving? Or is it Cam Newton and Stephen A. Smith pumping up the crowd like they're Hulk Hogan doing the Hulk Hogan ears? Who wants to hear it? don't poke the bear. Okay, all right, Cam, won't poke the bear. I mean, I will. But, you know, it's weird. It's weird. It's a weird thing. Either way, one thing I wish would have been the case. And by the way, I didn't even know that they talked about it on McAfee either. I heard that on the way in. I didn't even know they talked about it on McAfee. My guy Boston Connor, I think, was the one who called the afternoon show Fitzy and Wit. It's called WEEI Afternoons with Fitzy Hart and Ted Johnson. I'd imagine Boston Connor, he's probably writing the demo that watched Ted play. I'm sure he's, you know, he knew that. Or he'd know that, you know, if he saw the name, he'd remember who he was. Big-time 90s Patriots guy, that Boston Connor. I've been trying, we need to get Boston Connor on the show, I think, because him and I went to the same high school. A lot of people don't know that. But yeah, we didn't go there at the same time or anything, but he and I are both proud Knights. So we gotta try and work on that. We gotta see. Because I'd like to get on the inside of it too. Do we have the Pat McAfee sound? Is that in there anywhere? We'll play that in a little bit. First, let's go to the phone. 617-779-7937. Paul is in New Hampshire. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
What's up, Paul?
I take more exception with Stephen A. calling the
calling the man a liar. Like, when you call a man a liar, you know, you should be ready to throw down.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, what Cam says, Cam is just Cam. He's going to try to get clicks and everything else, but calling someone a liar is like, you know.
Fighting words.
Somebody walks up to you, Chris. Right, absolutely. Somebody walks up to you, Christian, and says, hey, man, Christian, you are a damn liar. What are you going to do?
I'm gonna do what Johnny Gomes would do. Johnny Gomes said if someone's in the grocery store pointing at you and yelling at you, what are you going to do? You're going to go fight him or you're going to just sit there and take it? I'm throwing down. Call me a liar? I don't know. That's it. Right now, on site. Cam Newton calls me a liar. We're fighting. No, I'm just kidding. Cam, you know why I know I could never, I would never want to fight Cam Newton? Because there's a video of Cam Newton getting jumped by four people. Have you seen this video? It's a great video. Cam Newton was at some football camp. I think it was his football camp, actually. And he's up on this like platform at the top of the stairs. They're outside. They're probably on like some college campus or something. I don't know exactly where they were. But he's standing up on this, you know, elevated surface. And all of a sudden, four, I don't know if they're teenagers in their 20s. I don't know exactly how old they were. I think they were teenagers. One of them had a backpack on. If you're going to jump Cam Newton, maybe ditch the backpack guy. maybe that's, I feel like that's going to hinder you in your attempt to out-muscle Cam Newton. Anyway, four of these guys jump Cam Newton, and Cam Newton's got his hat on and everything. I mean, he's in full Cam Newton regalia. And he handles these four people like they're not, like they're little kids. He's throwing them around. They're jumping. They're throwing punches. It's like the punches don't even land. Like they land, but it's not, they don't stop him at all. He just continues throwing them around. And here's why I know that I could never, I'd never want to fight Cam Newton. Because any one of those four people could probably kick my ass. Any one of them. You know, they're young. They're in shape. I imagine they're football players if they're at a football camp or something, right? Like I would guess that if I had to fight any one of them individually, that I would probably lose. Probably. And he beat all four of them at once. So like that, I think, tells you right there that, yeah, it would be a pretty one-sided affair. Certainly would. Andy Hart, I don't think anyone was physically threatening you. When he said, don't poke the bear, I don't think it was, don't poke the bear or else I'm going to go to Dartmouth or whatever and you know, knock on your door and we're going to fight in the front yard. I don't think that's what Cam Newton was trying to say. Although if he did, I would pay good money to watch that. Oh, would I ever? You would have to have Cam Newton on like one leg. Something. One hand tied behind his back. He's still winning that. Andy Hart wouldn't even arm wrestle me. He was scared to arm wrestle me. He's like, oh, I pulled my bicep. I'm like, Andy, come on. So what? You pulled your bicep. Let's arm wrestle. He's like, ah, no, I don't want to. So I had to arm wrestle Ted. No, I'm just kidding. That would not be fun. That would be like arm wrestling a hydraulic press. Like, who would want to do that? 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to more of your phone calls right after this. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. It's the Christian Arcan Show here, WEEI. We're only going until 7:30 tonight. Then we got Thursday Night Football, and it's a good game tonight. Buffalo, Houston, in Houston. Josh Allen coming off that 6-touchdown game. Don't want to miss it. If you got some action on it, you definitely don't want to miss it. So keep it right here on WEEI all night long. In the meantime, let's get to your phone calls here. A lot of people want to talk about this ESPN situation, and we'll start with Tom in Amherst. Go ahead, Tom.
Hello. I just want to make a comment that I think is pretty obvious. Cam Newton sounds like a jilted girlfriend, and Stephen A. sounds like the new boyfriend. It kind of comes out like kind of catty.
Yeah, it's pretty catty, I would say. So Cam Newton's the jilted girlfriend. Stephen A. Smith's the boyfriend. Who are they in the relationship with? Are they in a relationship with each other? That metaphor, I think, got away from a little bit there, but I sort of understand what he meant. I'm not sure that Newton sounds jilted, like something happened. But you could say, you know, if it wasn't for the Patriots, and you remember with Newton, like, is there a problem with him and the Patriots? There could be, I guess. It was Belichick, you know. He lost his job to Mac Jones, which I know you know that hurt. No one wanted him that year. You'll remember they signed him on the 4th of July, or right around the 4th of July. And that's well after free agency is over. That's when, like, rosters are starting to get put together. You're a couple weeks away from camp. Like, that's when you're, you know, getting things going. August is when that all starts to kick up.
Nobody works harder than Cam does.
Right. Sure. And I'm sure that's true. I'm sure he was working hard, but, you know, he couldn't throw anymore. It was basically over by then, and Josh McDaniels managed to squeeze some games out of him, showing that he could work with a mobile quarterback, and then, you know, bleeping off to go ruin another team, which is what happened with him before he came back here. That said, I don't know. I hadn't really thought of that. Does he feel jilted by the Patriots? If the Patriots hadn't signed him, if Bill hadn't signed him that year, I don't know. It didn't seem like anyone else was going to. Bill signing him that year, him playing, that may have, you know, given him another year. What did we play, like one more year after that? Might have bought him an extra year. And I know he wasn't making Cam Newton money at that point in his career, but he was still in the NFL, yeah?
I think that return to the Panthers was the last ever action he had.
And that was at the next year?
It was like the very next season? Following year.
Okay, I think that's right. That sounds right. So I don't know. I mean, maybe something happened behind the scenes. Maybe him and Bill had a falling out. Maybe him and Kraft had a falling out. I have no idea. That was never reported on if that was the case. But, yeah, he had the season with the Patriots, and then he went to Carolina after that. He played in five games, 0-5. And, that was all she wrote for the career of Cam Newton. I remember Cam Newton doing, like, his podcast or whatever that show was, where it's like him sitting in a director's chair interviewing somebody, and there was all like a – it was like on a sound stage. I think he interviewed like his dad. And I remember watching that and hearing it and being like, you know, Cam's got to tighten it up a little bit if he wants to really maintain an audience. And this is just my opinion as a listener, not as a, you know, I don't do shows like that. I don't know how they work. I just, you know, from what I understand, from what I've come to learn about the average consumer of sports media, it seemed like Cam was just a little too into hearing Cam, you know, riff. You get that. You got to get down to the point. You got to give you got to say some things that'll get people going, and he's doing that for sure. I mean, listen, the stuff he's saying about the Patriots and Drake May has got us all going. We've all responded to it. We've all made a point of doing that. But a large part of what the reaction is not really so much to what he's saying, but to the fact that he never actually gets to the point, never actually says anything. So it's just okay,
bruh, relax.
All right, I'll relax. Let's go to James in Narragansett. Hey neighbor, what's going on, James?
Hey, how's it going? I just think the fool's gold take is kind of an easy take for Cam to take, because it's, you know, how do you measure that? Is it if the Pats flame out and don't make the playoffs, that's certainly fool's gold. A first-round exit, is that fool's gold? I mean, anything short of a Super Bowl, I guess, would not be a fool's gold. But, I mean, the Celtics have even won a championship and been questioned on schedule. So hard to measure, an easy victory for Cam, I'd say.
All right, thanks, James. If you're asking I talked about this the other day, so if you're asking me, I'll tell you what I would consider to be a fool's gold season, or like a bad ending to the season. Anything short, right now, I'm saying anything short of the AFC Championship game. And here's my reasoning for it. Number one, if you miss the playoffs, that's an obvious catastrophe. That's not fool's gold. That's like a Three Mile Island meltdown. That's worst case scenario. If you are a wild card team, then that means that the Broncos or the Colts or one of these other teams overtook you. And that's not good news. It's not the worst news in the world, but you're 9-2. I think they're better than Denver, personally. I think most Patriots fans would agree. I don't know if the national media thinks that, but, you know, Vegas certainly doesn't. But I think that in, you know, certain circles, there's plenty of arguments to be made that they're right on the level. One's better than the other. Flip a coin, fine. I think the Patriots are better. I think they have a better offense. Their defense, I think, is comparable. And they have the better quarterback and maybe the better coach. We'll see. So that's, you know, that's that. But let's say they don't get the bye and they play in the wild card and they lose in the first round. Disappointment. If they do get the bye and they lose in the first round, their first round in the division round, essentially if they're a one and done, any way that that happens, that's bad. If they're a wild card team, they win the wild card, they go to the division round and lose, that's not quite as bad as if they got the bye and lost in the division round, but it's not great. If they make it to the AFC Championship game, that's a point that you can't really question. That's a point where you can say, all right, you were one of the final four teams. That's not fool's gold. It's not. A lot of teams make the wild card round. Making it to the AFC Championship game, that is, you can say, pretty with 10 toes down, say it with your chest, that is not fool's gold. But when you're 9-2, And there's only one other team that's 9-2, and a lot of people think that you're better than that team. I think they're better than that team. Then that's what I would consider. Anything less than the AFC Championship game at this point, I'd consider a disappointment. And I'm someone who thought that six games was too many for this team. Six wins was too many. So, yeah, I'm changing my tune real quick here. I admit that. But that's where I think this team is right now. That's where they are. That's where the expectations are, and that's where they should be. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls here on this Cam Newton, Stephen A. Smith situation, going to war with WEEI. Do it at your own risk, fellas. And also, Ben Solak, Solak with an S, on ESPN.com, had a whole story yesterday about the best coaching hires of the year. And you're not going to believe it, but Mike Vrabel's not number one. We'll get to that with your phone calls right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I said, I think last week, there's a real shock. This team's looking at 13 or 14 wins. You know, whether it's fool's gold or not, they're probably going to be the one seed throughout. In my opinion, I know you love Indy. I think New England's going to get home field throughout the AFC playoffs. And we know how important that is when you get to the postseason in that cold weather. With Vrabel as the head coach, came so close to the AFC Championship when he was in Nashville. And I think if he gets that home field throughout, they're going to be a tough team to beat.
This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
All right, we got about a half hour left here. It's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI, live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. We're Boston Sports Original, and along with Boston, we're coming to you live up in Portland and Saco, Upper Valley, Keene, Brattleboro, Springfield, Worcester, Providence, Cape Cod, and the Islands. And if you're not in any of those places, if you happen to be in, like, I don't know, Bristol, for example, don't forget you can stream WEEI anytime on the Odyssey app as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps as well. Kirk Herbstreit there says whether it's fool's gold or not, Patriots are probably going to be the number one seed in the AFC. And I am with him on that. I'm with him on that. I think they have the easiest schedule of these other remaining teams. It's not like the Colts have been tested all that much. They do have a couple more coming up. And some of these teams that they have to play may be better than they've looked, like Jacksonville and so forth. I think they've played both their Tennessee games. They might have Tennessee again. So I don't know. I mean,
I know they got the Chiefs this Sunday.
They do have the Chiefs coming up, so that could be a tough one, although the Chiefs haven't been that tough of an out lately. The Chiefs team that may miss the playoffs. They lose to the Colts, that's it. They lose to the Colts, it's over. I don't think that they can win out after that, right? I mean, that seems far-fetched. They've already beaten Tennessee twice, the Colts have. So, again, I mean, we're not talking about murderer's row of schedules here. The Broncos, I think, are more likely to wilt here before the Patriots do. That's assuming everybody stays, you know, reasonably healthy. With that in mind, Ramondre Stevenson, the only Patriot limited in practice today, which I think is very, very good news. Even if he doesn't play, that means that a slew of other guys are feeling better and getting ready to go. And I think that whether or not Joe Burrow is going this weekend or not, Schefter said signs are pointing to that maybe happening. I think, like Joe said last night, I think the Patriots are going to have this one pretty well locked up if they can remain focused and they can execute and do all that stuff that they've been doing really all year. I have no reason to think that that's going to become a problem against that Cincinnati Bengals defense. That defense stinks. And also, I think that Mike Vrabel and the chemistry and the culture and all that stuff, I think, is like at its peak right now. I think it's going to be a while before any of it, maybe even, you know, next season, if ever, that starts to, I don't know, I don't want to say crack, but like fade a little bit, because you can only really keep that sort of wild enthusiasm going for so long. It's hard to really keep it up. You know, it's if you're winning, I guess it's a lot easier, but it does seem like that's a full-time job. You're trying to really, you know, that's a lot. It takes a lot out of you doing all that. But Vrabel so far, no complaints. And really, if you listen nationally, if you look at Coach of the Year and the voting and the Vegas odds and all of that, Mike Vrabel's all at the top of almost all those lists, except for one. I was reading ESPN yesterday, which I'll never do again, by the way, so long as they insult my mentee, Andy Hart. I'm swearing off ESPN, Joe, right here, right now. Just kidding. Right after I'm done talking about this.
That'll last for about 20 minutes.
Right after I'm done talking about this article that I've been teasing for an hour. Ben Solak. Lessons, coaching hires, talking about the Patriots, Bears, the Jaguars, the Seahawks. Lessons that teams have been learning and who the best coaching hires of the offseason have been. Here is what Solak said about Mike Vrabel. The promise is a steady CEO of personnel and culture who would elevate the team's floor. The return has been a bigger boost than even the most faithful Patriots fan could have expected. Before handing Vrabel his deserved accolades, there is a necessary caveat that gets far too easily leapfrogged in Patriots discussions this year. Drake May was far, far closer to the season's MVP form than he got credit for last season. I wrote about this coming out of Week 16 last year when Jaden Daniel was about to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I thought May was authoring a more impressive season. I don't remember him saying this, but okay. May's debut season was ninth in success rate. Daniels was third. May was dealing with much worse pass protection and wide receiver play. May's peak plays were also misconstrued. Ball placement and calculated aggression on his film. Patriots record would have led you to believe by the end of the season he was firing on all cylinders. He did get better as the season went on. He never looked like this. At any point, I don't think, last year, did he look like he's looked over the span of these last eight games or whatever it's been for the win streak here. I feel like this is a level that never really got touched last year, but whatever, we can agree to disagree. Solak, though, says, as such, I give Vrabel less credit for May's leap into MVP hood than the average pundit might. Vrabel has not misstepped once in his construction of the team around May, and for that he deserves bouquets of flowers. Four new starters in the offensive line, two with free agency, two in the draft. Hiring of Josh McDaniels, was that really him, was a strong one, but the defense has taken a bigger leap. Entire unit reimagined, who brought in Williams, Tonga, Landry, Durden, Chasen, Spillane, Gibbons, Davis, and Woodson. That is a lot of guys on that defense. That is a totally new defense. Solak writes, Vrabel has been a rising tide for this team, though that tide might reach a limit when the schedule stiffens up. New England has faced the easiest stretch of opponents to start the season, and even if the Patriots secure a first-round bye and home field advantage in the playoffs, they will find their mettle tested by AFC contenders. But the bill that Vrabel sold the Patriots, that he had the experience and wisdom to turn them into one of those contenders, was realized. We'll find out just how high that ceiling is soon enough. Mike Vrabel was number two on this list. That write-up was for the number two best hire of this past offseason, not Coach of the Year, the best hire of this past offseason. Number one, Ben Johnson with the Bears, which I'm sure somewhere Brian's fist pumping in his car. But Ben Johnson of the Bears, the number one coaching hire of this past offseason, according to Ben Solak. This is a hotter take than Cam Newton, right? This is a hotter take than Cam Newton calling the Patriots fool's gold. Ben Johnson, greater than Mike Vrabel. I feel like that's been such an easy retort for people, throwing it back in my face. I should be embracing this. I wanted Ben Johnson. I thought Ben Johnson with Drake May was going to revolutionize the offense and modernize it and all that. I was really excited for it. I thought that would be a cool thing to do. It was clear that wasn't going to happen. Did they even take a meeting with him? I think they took like a virtual meeting with him, maybe. If they even did one at all. But it was Vrabel. I mean, everybody knew they were just going to go out and hire Vrabel the second they fired Jerod Mayo. Anyway, Ben Johnson goes to Chicago. And that team, which fired their coach and coordinator, I want to say, last year, right? And their offensive coordinator. They were sort of toeing the line between, okay, are we building something here? How far along in the rebuild are we? Is Caleb Williams for real? That team was 5-12 last year, and this year under Ben Johnson, they are already 7-3. So that's another team that is shot past what they did last year, didn't have super high expectations, and have been realizing those Ben Johnson doing that, and another team that I'd say has not had the toughest schedule in the world either. But they are in a tougher division, and here is what Solak wrote about Ben Johnson. The promise with Johnson, an elite offensive scheme and play-calling prowess that unlocks the best of Caleb Williams, the return, exactly that. He writes, Williams has authored five winning drives. He's done it on the road and at home. He's done it on days when his defense failed him and when the offense was struggling for most of the contest. One of the other promises Johnson made was improved situational football. He has delivered that overwhelmingly. You remember the Bears last year. They were a mess. Oh, were they a mess. Bears also have a negative point differential. They've played one team with a winning record, the Lions, and they lost that game 52-21. This sounds familiar. They played one other game against a team with a power rating above league average, the Ravens, and lost 30-16. DVOA has them at 25th. The offensive line, the run game, Caleb Williams' development, all of that, I think, is a really big feather in the cap for someone like Ben Johnson. I would agree with that. I guess the question is, Williams was drafted first overall. Drake May was drafted third overall. You were bringing in a offensive-minded head coach tasked with the job of fixing this offense and getting this kid on track, and he's done that. Mike Vrabel's mission was, I think, a little bit more encompassing, if you want to say that. I think he has a great relationship with Drake May, but he's not his offensive sounding board, you know, like he's not someone that I would imagine May goes to when he wants to go over the intricacies of the offense. He goes to McDaniels, or he goes to the QB coach, or he goes to one of, you know, Vrabel's guys, and that becomes where those conversations go. As opposed to Ben Johnson, he's the offensive mastermind. He's, you know, all up in this stuff, and it's a different job description. It's a different job description from what Mike Vrabel came on and said he was going to do. I'm not coming here just to fix the offense. I am remaking this entire thing. This is all going to be remade in an image that I want with guys that I want, and I'm going to have full say over it. And if we have to flush out all the Belichick guys, I'll get as many out as I can. And he's done that. I mean, he's, you know, there's only a few holdovers, really. Marcus Jones, Barmore, Drake May, Booty, and Douglas. I mean, you know, Stevenson's still here, but for how long, I guess we'll see. Like, there wasn't a lot of carryover. That defense, those names I just gave you on the defense, completely revamped. Completely revamped. And it has been a smashing success. Along with the fact that he's also done what Ben Johnson's done. Now, has he really done it? You can argue that he hasn't. Fine. But it's happened under his watch. The Drake May leap that we've seen has happened under the watch of Mike Vrabel, and you can hide behind, well, Drake May was really good last year. Okay, was he? Was the team really good last year? He made a couple of throws. There were some moments where you thought, ooh, okay, there's something here. But he wasn't orchestrating, you know, long sustaining drives and winning games. You know, it didn't happen like that. Even the one game where it sort of did in Tennessee, they got the overtime, and then he throws a pick to end the game. So, I don't know. I mean, listen, you can go by whatever numbers you want to tell the story you want to tell. I'm very well-versed in doing that, for sure. But in this case, you know, I don't know. Like, Ben Johnson is pretty one-dimensional when it comes to what he's doing. Mike Vrabel has revamped the defense, brought in guys on the offense, too, on the offensive line in the wide receiver room, that have made huge impacts already. Steph Diggs, the impact he's made is almost immeasurable on that offense. And that was a guy that Vrabel brought in. And that, I think, coupled with the culture, this new defense, the offense taking off, and a culture back in New England. I'm not reading a lot about the Chicago Bears and the Ben Johnson culture. I just don't feel like that's the same thing. And you don't have to have that in order to win a Super Bowl. Lord knows. I mean, plenty of teams with whatever cultures have won Super Bowls before. It's just, you know, sometimes that's how it goes. But it has been something that I think is helping this team. Absolutely.
I love your little smirk over there.
I love it too, Mike. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. So just listen. I mean, for all the love that he's getting, there is one guy out there who thinks that not only is Mike Vrabel not the best coach in the league, he's not even the best coach that got hired this offseason, which is a bold take. I think that's a bold take. That's more bold than Cam calling the Patriots fool's gold. I honestly think that.
Didn't know this guy was allowed to talk.
Sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it. My mother used to say that all the time. She still says it now, actually. But it's true. It doesn't. You can say something in a nice way and have it be very biting and very piercing. But if you don't say it in a mean way, then it doesn't get taken that way. People, basically, when you say it's not what you say, it's how you say it, it implies that the person you're talking to is kind of dumb, you know, and that they just are only going to hear the way you said something and not actually take in the words. But it's true. There's a lot of dumb people out there, you know. You say something in a mean way to them, even if it's not that mean, they'll be like, all right, let's go. Like the guy before who called in, he said, yeah, those are fighting words. Someone calls you a liar, then that's fighting words. It depends on how you call them a liar. If it's like, you're a bleeping liar, you know, like, or whatever. It also depends what they're being accused of lying about. That's another very important detail when it comes to that type of thing.
You're a liar.
Fighting words. Play Stephen A. calling Drake May a liar. Because that was pretty good. Pretty good in terms of, you know, getting people upset.
He's also a liar.
He's a liar. He knows exactly who comes on this show.
He's also a liar.
He knows what time of day Cam Newton's on. He knows when Damian Woody's on. He knows when Dan Orlovsky's on. He knows when Mina Kimes comes on. Help me out. Who else goes on that show? It used to be Shannon, but he's long gone. Too much lovemaking on FaceTime. That's why.
He's got it. It gave that tone of like, you know, you're a liar, and I don't even have to explain it.
Yeah, I guess. with all that, I don't know. I mean, fighting words. People are upset about that. Can't believe Stephen A. Smith called him a liar. How dishonorable that is! Like, Stephen A. Smith, come on. And it wasn't even like what Stephen A. Smith was doing there wasn't really taking that much of a shot at Drake May. It was mostly just him boasting. Like, that was an opportunity for him to say, we've been the number one show for 13 years, and everybody knows that, and every athlete knows Stephen A., and every athlete knows which guy's on at what time, and blah, 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 and all that other stuff, because we're so good, and I make so much money, and, you know, I'm flexing on all these broke bitches. Stephen A. is the best at that. Oh, he's the best at doing that.
First of all, let me tell you, it's not to brag, you know, listen.
Not to brag. But everybody knows my show. Everybody in the world who's ever watched any sporting event or played in any sports league knows my show and knows what time Cam Newton's on the show, damn it.
First Take is the number one morning show, 13 years and counting.
Not to brag. Not to brag or anything. Stephen A. would not last long on the Jones and Keefe show. It would just be a constant sick brag, bro, after everything he said. Just bam, sick brag, bro. It would never stop. Just in that one section right there, he would be drowned out by the sick brag bro drop. Sick brag bro drop. It's hard to say. It's hard to say fast. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Got a pretty good one tonight. Buffalo Bills taking on the Houston Texans. I have some thoughts on the Red Sox. They made one move today. Not one really worth talking about all that much. You heard it from Joe Braverman, and here's Joe Braverman again with What's Trending. All right, we got a couple of minutes left here. If you want to jump in, you can. 617-779-7937. Some texts I want to read. Texter in the 978 says, if Drake May was 10 years into his contract, he might go after somebody like him. But right now, this kid's humble as F. Yeah, I mean, he did kind of take a shot at him, I thought. I thought it was a good shot. You know? And you know that he's talking about a guy that he has said and has, you know, made a big point. I idolize this guy. This is my guy growing up. Probably wanted to, you know, tailor his game after him. He does, sort of. I mean, you know, he throws on the run. He's an active guy. He takes contact. Not like Cam did. I mean, Cam was a freak. He'd run into the line like he was LeGarrette Blount. You know, like he'd just do it. And he didn't often have much around him. Cam Newton didn't as a player. I always thought it was a shame that he never got, like, he had Steve Smith for a while, but they never really built, like, a great offense around him. I thought that would have been cool. But it just never was meant to be, unfortunately. That being said, We got a pretty good one here tonight, since we're talking about other coaches that may be giving Mike Vrabel a run for his money here. Ben Johnson now being talked about as maybe even a better hire, according to ESPN. And then there's Josh Allen, who dipped a little bit in the MVP conversation. But after this last game with the six touchdowns, he has muscled his way right back into the top three. And he's still about, it's like plus 450, I think, for him. And plus 175 for May. That's what it was this morning. May have changed since then. I don't know. And this is a very good Houston Texans defense playing at home. And Josh Allen, I think, has just got to ball out here. If he has a big night tonight in primetime against a defense like Houston's, then I would imagine we're going to be a lot closer to like a three-way tie. Yes.
Josh Allen odds right now, FanDuel plus 450 for MVP, Drake plus 175.
Okay. And what's Stafford's
leading
like 135?
Is Stafford plus 135.
135. Okay. That hasn't changed. So, yeah. Big night tonight from Josh Allen. He goes out, he doesn't have to have six touchdowns again, but he goes out there and has, you know, 300 yards, two touchdowns, a rushing touchdown, something like that. Against that defense, against Houston's defense. Houston's defense is freaky good. Their pass rush, they're like the opposite of the Patriots, really. Like the Patriots, it's the run defense. They really, you know, plug up the middle. Houston, they do that too, but they come off the edge, and those guys are just scary. Hunter and those guys, they're terrifying. They get after you. Hunter's got nine sacks already. Like, they're nasty. And with Buffalo, it's a game that Houston needs more than Buffalo does. Houston's still trying to, you know, establish a real foothold here in the postseason picture. Buffalo, it's going to take a major collapse for them to lose that foothold. So, you know, obviously they want to try and challenge the Patriots for the AFC East. Obviously they want to try and, you know, have a home playoff game and all that. But for the Houston Texans, it's a bigger deal for them tonight to win this game. A win over the Bills, getting up over 500, validating that defense. It's not going to be an easy thing to do when you got Davis Mills out there playing quarterback. Davis Mills, the giraffe, as he's known. But it should be a good one. Stick around. That's coming up right here. Josh Allen, how big of a night's he going to have? Find out next here. We got pregame and then kickoff from Houston. Thursday Night Football right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. I'm back tomorrow night at 6, 6 until 9. Nice. We'll talk to you then right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Good night now. Going to war with WEEI? Do it at your own risk, fellas.
That's it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.